Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Amen. So, good people of grace, what is your love language? No, seriously, I am sure that there is not one of us here that escaped this book. Unless, of course, you were born after 1985. I am sure someone here has read it, The Five Love Languages, written by Dr. Gary Chapman. The book, written in 1992, sold 8,500 copies in the first year, which was more than double what the publishers predicted. 2 years later, in 1994, this book sold 137,000 copies. Love Languages has been on the New York Times bestseller list ever since, and a second edition was published in 2015. The theory that Chapman was working with is actually really simple. Each of us has a way we communicate love, and each of us has a way we receive love, or that we understand when we are given love. Out of his many years as a counselor, he formulated the notion that there are five different love languages. Some of you could probably tell me what they are right now, but I'll tell you. They are service, gift giving, physical touch, quality time, and words of affirmation. If we love someone and we keep giving them gifts and yet they continue to feel disconnected and unloved by us, we may be confused. But then we do the dishes and their face lights up and they seem happy and satisfied, at peace, loved. Dr. Chapman says that that's because their love language isn't gift giving, it's service. So if we want them to feel loved, more washing dishes and less diamonds. I don't know about that, but I mean, I'll take both. Jesus came to teach us to love, or at least so says my mother. God is love, the end. Jesus came to teach us to follow our greatest commandment, to love one another, so says our scripture. Last week, we heard Jesus praying for the disciples whom he loved. He was asking God to protect them because he was leaving them. Jesus would no longer be there in the flesh to help them love one another well. So he prayed, God, protect them so that they may be one and follow the greatest commandment. Jesus, talking with the disciples about his leaving this world, says to them, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. For the Spirit dwells within you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus knows if these disciples are to succeed, if they are going to have the capacity to suffer all that is ahead of them and still follow the commandment to love, they are going to need help. So he promises them, God will send you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. Jesus also names the Holy Spirit the mighty counselor and the advocate. An advocate in Jewish tradition is someone who speaks for someone who is not able to speak, typically in a court of law. An advocate is also someone who consoles another in their grief. Now, many of you know that before I became a priest, I served as an advocate for victims of violent crime in the courtrooms and in the hospitals, and then followed them through the legal process and provided trauma counseling for these victims and for their families. I served this role with 8 other women, and together we covered 17 counties in East Tennessee. Our role as advocates was to be present at the hospital as soon as the victim was brought in for medical treatment. We became a part of the first responder team. This approach evolved out of the developing understanding that a victim of violent crime healed more fully when a first responder was there to advocate on their behalf and to console them in their grief immediately. When I would enter a hospital, there would be so many people present and talking. The doctors and nurses, the detectives and the police, usually a few family members and sometimes news reporters. Often after a traumatic incident, simple things such as speaking clearly, understanding what is being said and making decisions can be very hard. And in that moment, and the many moments to come, lots of decisions have to be made. But understanding what's happening can be almost impossible when you are confused and frightened. Our role as advocate was to be present for the needs of the victim. We had no other focus but her. And our role as advocate was to translate all that was happening around her into a language that she could fully understand. Our job was to translate so that she could make decisions that benefited her and her situation. And our job was to console her so that she could feel loved in the midst of her fear and grief. I will not leave you comfortless. Today in our scripture, the disciples are still hiding out in the upper room after Jesus has ascended. They are in a place of fear and grief. The city around them is in a place of celebration, the harvest festival. How odd it must have felt to be in the middle of a city celebrating while you are in a place of fear and grief. But Jesus promised them, "I will not leave you comfortless. The Father will send you the advocate, and he will testify on my behalf." And then suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Each of the disciples, through the power of the Holy Spirit, were given gifts that made it possible for them to understand and translate the mystery of God's love to those around them in ways they could understand. Richard Rohr says of mystery, "Mystery is not something you can't know. Mystery is endless knowability. Living inside such endless knowability is finally a comfort, a foundation of ultimate support, security, unrestricted love, and eternal care. Mystery is not something we can't know, it is endless knowability. But in order to know this mystery, this unrestricted love, we must be able to share it, to express it, to communicate it. So what is your love language? Jesus came to teach us to love. God is love, the end. But God sent the Holy Spirit to help us to translate the mystery of this love, of the love of God, into human action that can be understood by those we are called to bring together. After the great rush of wind and the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, the crowd gathers. The crowd gathers because they can feel the Spirit, they can hear it, they can understand what the disciples are saying, and so they feel the call to that place and they join with them. In 1992, people all across this nation were drawn to read the book, The Five Love Languages, because deep down, people want to love well. People want those whom they love to understand the mystery of their love for them, the often inexpressible mystery of love. Love is an action. Love is not passive. Love is embodied and lived out. Dr. Chapman, in his research, discovered that most people will express their love in the language that they receive love. But his simple theory was that if we want those we love to know we love them, we must learn to speak their love language, not just our own. This is what the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Counselor, does for the disciples. It moves them from the focus of self to the focus of other, and it gives them the gifts of languages that enable them to reach thousands. And why? So that those thousands may understand the endless knowability of the unrestricted love of God, and so that they would join together to form the church, and so that the church, grounded in this endless knowability, would follow the greatest commandment to love and to work to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And the Holy Spirit affords each of us the same ability. The Holy Spirit affords each of us different languages in the form of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we might gather together strangers into a family, into the body of Christ, so that we too might build the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. The Holy Spirit affords us the ability to translate the mystery of God's love. It says in Corinthians, the Spirit gives us these gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophetic voice, understanding, and discernment. These are the love languages of the Holy Spirit, of the triune God. These are the gifts we are filled with as the Spirit gives us ability. Each of us has a love language through the gifts of the Spirit, and so does our corporate body, our church. So, Grace Episcopal, what is our love language? How are we as a body called to speak at this time, in this city, in this world, in the way the world can understand? What gifts, what assets has the Holy Spirit given us so that we might reach the stranger and bring them in, so that we too might build the kingdom of heaven here on earth? It is written, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved by the endless knowability of God's unrestricted love. This is our work now at Grace, to receive the gifts of the Spirit that have been afforded to us, and to use those gifts to translate the mystery of God's love. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean? What does it mean for us, Grace?" It means we have not been left comfortless. It means eternal and unrestricted love is here, and that it dwells within us. We are called to trust that what dwells within us is enough, and that what we have to offer this world is needed. And we are called to have the courage, even in the midst of the rushing winds, to speak, not only in ways that we understand, but in the ways that those whom we are called to serve will understand. And if we want the world to know the mystery of God's eternal and unrestricted love, if we want to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, we must have the courage to speak through the gifts we have been afforded by the Holy Spirit. Welcome to Pentecost, the celebration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and thus the birth of the church. What a perfect time to be dreaming. What a perfect time to be planning on regathering fully. I can feel the rushing wind. I can see the flames of fire. What a perfect time to discern the gifts of the Spirit for Grace Episcopal Church and how we are called to gather strangers together. And what mysterious timing. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is leading us all, dwelling within us. It is indeed true. We have not been left comfortless. Amen.